Boya is a pirate. He was one of the old boys, an original pirate, quietly pursuing his trade in the waters of his coastal hometown of Ale years before it galvanized the world's imagination as an infamous pirate haven in mid-2008. Abdullahi Abshir, known as Boya, who claimed to have hijacked more than 25 ships, looked down on the recent posers, the headline grabbers who had bathed in the international media spotlight, and it showed. He exuded a self-assured superiority. It had taken 5 days to arrange this meeting. Pirates are hard to track down, constantly moving around and changing phone numbers, and are generally not reachable before 12 or 1 in the afternoon. Days earlier, frustrated and eager to begin interviewing, I had naively suggested approaching some suspected pirates on the streets of Gataway. Habitually munching on narcotic leaves of khat, they are easy enough to spot, their gleaming Toyota four-wheel drives slicing paths around beaten-up wheelbarrows and pushcarts on Gataway's eroded streets. My Somali hosts laughed derisively, explaining that to do so would invite kidnapping, robbery, or, at the very least, unwanted surveillance. In Somalia, everything is done through connections, be they clan, family, or friend, and these networks are expansive and interminable. You have to know one another, and it seems sometimes that everyone does. Warsame, my guide and interpreter, had been on and off the phone for the better part of a week, attempting to coax his personal network into producing Boya. Eventually it responded, and Boya presented himself. I was being taken to a mutually agreed meeting place in the passenger side of an aging white station wagon, cruising out of Gataway on the city's sole paved road. Along this stretch, the concrete had endured remarkably well, with few of the jarring potholes that routinely force cars onto the shoulder from Gataway to Gakayo. Saeed and Abdirashid perched attentively in the back seat, and in the rearview mirror was a sleek new Land Cruiser, a shining symbol of the recent money pouring into Gataway. It carried Boya, Colonel Omar Abdullahi Farole, the cousin of my host Mohammed Farole, and Warsame. Other than our two vehicles, the road was empty, stretching unencumbered through a stony desert dotted with greenish shrubs. The thought that I was being taken to be executed in a deserted field, the unfortunate product of the BBC's Africa News section and too many Las Vegas mob movies, rattled around in my head for a few seconds. We arrived at our destination, a virtually abandoned roadside farm 15 kilometers outside of Gataway. Boya had recently contracted tuberculosis, and Warsame insisted that we meet him in an open space. As we stepped out of our respective vehicles, I caught my first glimpse of Boya. He looked to be in his early 40s, immensely tall and with an air of menace about him. The brief, calculating glance with which he scanned me left the distinct impression that he was capable of chatting amiably or robbing me with the same equanimity. He was wearing a ma'awis, a traditional sarong-like robe of a clan elder, and an imamad, a decorative shawl was slung over his left shoulder. On his feet was a pair of spit-shined ebony leather sandals. Boya turned immediately and loped down the dirt path leading towards the farm, Colonel Omar following paces behind him. Threading his way through the mishmash of tomato plants and lemon trees that constituted this eclectic farm, Boya wove back and forth along the path, like a bird looking for a roosting spot. Finally, he settled on a site in a cool, shady clearing where an overhead thatching of branches had created an almost cave-like atmosphere. He squatted in the center of the clearing and began to toy with a dil, a wooden vat used by nomads to store milk, that someone had left on top of a nearby stack of wood. His mobile phone resting in his right hand, Boya remained singularly focused on the oblong container in front of him, twirling it on the hardened dirt like a solo game of spin the bottle. Other than the farm's owner and his wife, no one was remotely close by, yet the special police unit officers took up positions at either ends of the clearing with an amusing military officiousness. The meeting place filled with the rest of our party, and I decided it was time to force Boya to acknowledge my presence. I walked up to him and greeted him with the standard Salam Aleikum, and was not surprised when Boya and those around him responded with startled laughter before quickly offering the formulaic response, "Alaikum salam." Somalis were routinely astonished when I demonstrated the slightest knowledge of their culture or language, even a phrase that they shared with the entire Islamic world.